Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We're talking about financial health today. What if you could identify some of the lies that you believe around your finances? I mean, maybe you're living with lies, self-limiting, God-limiting beliefs that you don't even know are there. They've sort of remained unchallenged in your soul, but they're keeping you captive. Wouldn't you want to know what those lies are? Wouldn't you want to confront them head on? What if you invited God into the center of your financial story? I mean, what if you dared to believe Him for miracles in this area of your life? And what if you could feel more in control of your money than ever before and cultivated such a deep trust in God as your provider that generosity became a core value for you? I mean, can you picture a more generous you a year from now, a more free you because you followed some of the principles that God has laid out in His Word? Well, you know I love to talk about health and the healing process, and that's why we got Dr. Troy on the show once a month. But I also have a deep, profound passion to see people set free. You know, captives set free in this area because Kev and I, many years ago, were once so bound. And as we started to trust God, what we could do in the kingdom and for the kingdom just exponentially increased. And I truly, truly can't think of two better people to talk about it than Bob and Linda Loddick. They join us every month to talk about our relationship to money. The title of the book, their book, is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And their podcast truly is fast becoming one of my favorites. We will link their podcast up in the show notes. And sometimes they're only 15 minutes, and you'll get this just great wisdom. It's so not legalistic. It has this invitation to believe God for just miracles. I'm just excited about that. And in these next few months, Bob and Linda are going to lead us on a journey towards financial freedom and wholeness, where you can start to see your capacity increase to save money, to pay down your debt, to give more money away than you ever dreamed possible. And if you choose to accept it, you're going to get a little bit of homework each month. Last month, we talked about the second most important number to track while moving towards your financial goals, and we linked up this little worksheet. We're going to recap that just for those of you who missed that conversation. Today, we're going to talk about the five lies that keep us bound and captive in our finances, and then we'll talk about the most important number to track when it comes to your financial health. I read this quote last month, but I'm going to read it again. Bob writes this: God's bigger than any financial problems we face, but we have to be willing to step out in faith to see the miracle. Oftentimes, that step of faith is a natural step that allows God to do the supernatural. When we take the natural step while prayerfully asking God to do the supernatural, we open the door for miracles. Somebody got to text me an amen, and we haven't even gotten started yet. So a quick announcement before we hear from Bob and Linda. Sharing Jesus can feel scary, but it doesn't have to be hard. The Gospel of John's a great place to start as you share this hope, the hope of the gospel, the hope of Jesus. You can take that next bold step in sharing your faith by requesting a free copy of the Gospel of John, along with a few resources to help you share your faith. You can sign up now at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. For the past 14 years, award-winning blogger and podcaster Bob Loddick has been a trusted voice for Christians wanting to find financial freedom the way God intended. He shared timeless wisdom and practical strategies with more than 50 million readers, listeners, and students through his Seed Time blog, online courses, and Seed Time Money podcast. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee with his wife Linda and their three children. You can find him in lots of great resources at seedtime.com. Linda Loddick is co-founder of Seed Time and co-host of the Seed Time Money podcast. She's a fireball who helps you see things from a spouse's perspective and keeps all the money talk light and fun. And that is true. Bob and Linda, welcome back to the show.
Susie, so good to be here. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Linda, I'll start with you as we start every day, the same question every day. And I love this question. What has the Lord been talking about these days?
Yeah, so I've been reading 2 Corinthians 8. I was just reading it the other day, and I saw this verse. It's verse 3. Oh, I'm sorry. It's verse 4. Where he's talking about, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gifts for the believers in Jerusalem. And what he's saying is that this Corinthians church is begging for the opportunity to give money to fund the furthering of the gospel. And I loved that idea that they were begging to be part of it. And I thought, what a picture that is when we get, when God gives us a revelation of how important something is to him, and then we get to be part of it. And sometimes that's by financial stewardship, and sometimes it's by actually, you know, doing things. But I just love this idea that we can be excited about our giving because it's something that's on God's heart, and we get to be part of that.
So good.
That's good.
And it's his DNA, right? God loved us so much that he gave his son, and he's a generous, generous giver. Bob, what about you? What's been God been talking about these days?
Yeah, so the verse that I guess comes up is at the end of Matthew 13, where it said, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And I don't know. It's just stretching me, you know, because it's like, how many times is our faith weak, and are we hindering God's ability to do the miraculous in our life because of our lack of faith? And I just want to be one of those people who is never that, you know, like,
yeah,
I want to see the fullness of everything God can do in and through my life. And so anyways, that's what I want to be when I grow up. So I'll leave
Amen.
It at that.
Oh, I aspire to that as well. I love it so much. It's so good. Well, you guys have been on several months in a row, and we've talked to friends. If you have not heard their backstory, go back and listen to past shows. But you literally went from financial brokenness in your 20s to giving away your first $1 million by age 40, paid your first house off in your age 30, in your 30s. And again, we talked about that journey on past shows. But last month, we also touched on the second most important number to track when it comes to reaching some of the goals we were going to be talking about in these coming months. And for those who missed that conversation, let's just do a quick recap of that part of it. That second most important number to track is what you call the AUM. Why don't you take it, Bob, and just give us a recap?
Yeah, so we call it AUM, stands for assets under management. And this is, you know, in the financial industry, you'll hear financial advisors using this term to describe the amount of money that they are managing. So the number of clients that they have and all the wealth that they're managing, that is, you know, I have whatever, $10 million AUM. Okay. And so what we did, and what kind of the reframe here is, traditionally, calculating your net worth is a great way to track your financial progress and to really identify some of your financial health and what's going on. But we fundamentally had a little bit of a problem with the term net worth, mostly because I don't want to look at any number as something that defines my worth or anyone else's worth, you know, regardless of whether the person walking down the street has a negative $1 million net worth or $100 million net worth. They are no better or worse in Jesus' eyes because of that. And our worth is determined by what Jesus did for us. And so that's the first part of it. But the second part of it too is when we truly understand that we are stewards and we are managers of what God has entrusted us to manage, including, you know, all the money in our bank account, our investments, assets, homes, all that stuff. It's like, it makes more sense. It's a more fitting term, as far as I'm concerned, to call it, these are our assets under management. This is what we are managing. And so for me, and I think for both of us, Lynn and I, we would say that this has helped us better maintain a stewardship mindset because we're constantly reminded that, nope, that's not our money. That's God's money that we are managing.
Mm-hmm. And you got a form, and we linked it up in the show notes last month, and Angie's going to link it up for us again this time. But Linda, it takes 10 to 15 minutes. So you're not asking for people to go out and get their house appraised. I mean, they can if they want, but there are really simple ways to get what you call a dirty number or just a basic number that gives you a pretty good indicator of your financial health. Talk about why it only takes 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah. So you don't need to total up every single thing that you own. I mean, I think Bob's threshold, he usually says, is about $500. So, you know, anybody can do whatever they want, you know, obviously. But you don't want it to take up too much of your time. Otherwise, you're less likely to do it. So I think it's great to just do about, you know, anything that's valued over $500 in your home that you could sell. It is just a great place to start. And if you want to do the whole spreadsheet thing and really get down to the nitty gritty, you totally can. Like, this is just our recommendation.
And so, Bob, like, your home, your vehicle, if you own a lot somewhere, hunting land or whatever, or boat, all your assets you put in one column, and then you put your debts, and then you do the math, and that's where you come up with the AUM number, correct?
Yeah, it's a real simple math problem. It's just basically the total of all your assets, like you mentioned. So the money in your bank account, you know, your investments, all that stuff, total it all up. That's your one number. Then the next number is all your debts. So the loan from grandma, your car payments, if you have a mortgage on your house, all that, that becomes your debt. And you subtract the debts from the assets. And then that number is now our assets under management. And then what's beautiful about this is it gives us something to measure our progress. Mm-hmm. And so again, like we always say, good managers know what they are responsible for. You will never find a good manager working at any company who, you know, who has no idea what they're managing. And so we believe as managers of what God has entrusted to us, we should know what's going on. And this is a way to know what's going on and a way to measure our progress if we're moving forwards or backwards.
Well, and I was also going to add that that number is the start of a testimony. And so if you don't know what it is, like, it's great to find out so that you can watch God move in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you talked about in your podcast, and you're not, you don't put rent in there because that's an expense. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And but you might have equipment, video equipment or something else that others don't have. Like you said, Bob, you got some guitars. Those are worth over $500 that you could sell for over $500. They're considered an asset. And you go as in depth as you want. But it's just important to get a basic understanding. Another thing you said that I thought was really important is if you're college age, you might have a negative number. This is why it's important to say this is not your net worth. You're worth more than any number because you're made in the image of God. But it is a starting point.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we talk to students all the time. I wouldn't say just college age. I mean, we talk to students of all ages who have significant negative numbers. And so that's actually really common now because of student loans and how much those have ballooned.
Right. Or medical debt. You know,
and medical debt. Like there's so many situations. And then, of course, just like credit card spending. It's like that's just gone up and up and up. And so all of those factors, yes, there's a lot of people with negative numbers, but at the end of the day, the number doesn't matter. All it is we are just stepping on a scale to see, all right, this is where we are. Okay. We want to go forward and we have something now to measure from where we are to where we want to go.
Mm. And you mentioned this, like you just said, stepping on a scale last time you were saying, if you want to lose weight, you have to start by weighing yourself. So you got to take the shame and the condemnation out of it. And you even said, Linda, on the podcast, if I remember right, that some people in one of the classes you guys were teaching came back and said, wow, I'm actually doing better than I thought. So you might be surprised by how that all turns out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because a lot of times people are going based off of how things feel. And it's not an accurate representation. So this one person I was talking to, he said, man, things are so tight. I just don't feel like I have enough money. And then he went and looked at his assets under management and realized he was doing a lot better than he thought. So even though things felt a certain way, it wasn't the full picture of what was going on. And so that was where he was able to like make some different decisions of like, okay, if things feel tight, then do I need to change things around? But being able to see the full picture was so helpful for him and even reframing for him that he's not doing as bad as he thought he was, you know?
Mm-hmm. And last thing about this before we go to break and pick up on the lies that we believe about finances, you said to check it every 6 months, once a year, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's generally what we've done. We've been doing this about the last 15 years or so, and that's been our rhythm, somewhere from every 6 to 12 months, which is just enough to have there be some changes as well as to monitor and pay attention to what's going on. So that's what we generally recommend.
Very good. All right. When we come back, I want to talk about five lies that we tend to believe around finances that you say can be, greatly hinder our financial progress. And friends, Bob and Linda did a podcast episode on this recently. It was really, really good. And we can link that up in the show notes as well. But you've got some great content here. We're drawing also from their book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. We're going to pause here. If you've got questions, go on and text them in and we'll try to weave those into the conversation. You can text in at 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love Him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only He can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friends Bob and Linda Lodick. We get them on every month to talk about financial health, your relationship to finances. And it is really amazing how we can stay locked up and kind of locked in to our scenario and without any kind of hope that we could break free, that things could be different for us. And recently, Bob and Linda did a podcast episode on five lies that they believed at one point that they realized were incredibly detrimental to their financial freedom and health. So this is what we're going to do, is tackle these one at a time. First one is, you're always going to have a car payment. I'll start with you, Bob. You're always going to have a car payment. And you even said kind of underneath that is you're just not good enough. I mean, you can't ever get out from underneath that issue, that lie, that debt. Say more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just kind of grew up with the mindset and mentality that I'm a middle class American, and this is what you do. You go out and get a car loan, you drive it, and you drive it for 5 years, and it's about to explode, and so you got to go trade it in and get a new one. And you just
it's in
keep
the
that
fine
cycle
print.
Going. Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, that was just kind of the mindset that I grew up with, and it wasn't until we paid off our first car that I realized, wait a minute, it hasn't blown up. We've been driving an extra 2 weeks. It's still going, you know? And then like when you kind of see the potential of it, wait a minute, what if I, you know, I have an extra $300 a month now that I'm not paying to the bank. Okay, what if I just keep putting that in a savings account and just keep letting that build up? And then maybe I could even buy the next one with cash if it goes a couple years without blowing up, you know? And so we did that. And like, once we kind of went through that process and experienced that, it's like we tore down that lie that was really holding us back in a lot of ways, because we just kind of continued that cycle because that's what we saw. That's what we understood. That's what everyone around us was doing, you know? And it was such an amazing thing, not only to pay off the car, but to get to a point where we could buy that next car with cash. And there's a level of freedom, I mean, financially speaking, when you break out of that cycle, it's like, it's mind blowing, like how fast things begin to move. So that was a really big one for us.
Mm-hmm. And anything, Linda, you want to add? I know you talked about even focus, that if you start to suddenly flip that switch and go, wait a second, I can pay off this car and I could possibly pay cash for the next one, it kind of initiates a level of focus where you can take money from things maybe you're wasting it on, pound it towards that car payment because you suddenly have some traction under you. You got a goal before you. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of people have asked us how we paid off cars and things like that. And what I think most people do, and honestly, my own tendency would be, once I see that there is a little bit of momentum going, I'll be like, oh, well, this feels a lot like I have some breathing room, and I will go and just spend the money on frivolous things, spend it on a vacation or, you know, a new handbag or whatever the thing may be. But what we did is we stayed really focused on making sure we got that debt paid off. So instead of taking the breathing room and making it feel like, oh, this feels a lot better, instead we just went zeroed in on the one thing and kept going and kind of kept our heads down. And then when we paid that off, it was like time to celebrate. We had like what did we do? We probably went for a nice dinner.
We did a lot of nice dinners to celebrate.
We were able to each order a soda instead of just having water, you know? You know, we treated ourselves a little bit, and then we went back into let's focus on the next thing. And that really helped us. Having the break really helped us, but then also keeping the focus is what makes it actually happen, you know?
Wow, very good. So you're always going to have a car payment. If you believe that lie, ask God to show you what's true and show you some creative ways not only to pound that thing down till you own it. I mean, Bob, you talked about walking in the bank and them handing you the title and just like that transactional moment where, I mean, you own this thing. So imagine, friend, if you've got that kind of lie locked down in the basement of your soul, ask God to show you. Show me what's true and show me how to walk free from this one. Okay, the second one, tithing is impossible. And Linda, I want you both to speak to it, but Linda, I loved your story on the podcast where you talked about an unnamed child, one of your children who will remain unnamed, but you wanting to give them some ice cream and they kind of sass back not knowing what you're asking. What do you want now? So, you know, give that analogy or that little bit of a story and how we project that same thing onto God.
Sure. So, and I think we might have talked about this last week too, even, is that the Lord is trying to bring us near. He's trying to draw us to him. And, you know, we have an unnamed child who I remember calling their name. And I said, "Hey," and this child responded back with, "What do you want now?" And I was in my heart, I was like, "Hey, I'm going to give this kid some ice cream because let's do something fun." And instead, the response that I got was anger towards me. And it was like, well, now I'm not really sure what to do because I don't want to reward that behavior. But also, you know, I was trying to draw this child to me. And I think that's oftentimes what we do with the Lord, where he will try and call us to him and give us a, "Hey, would you come here so that I can bless you with something?" And instead we have this like, I'm going to push back because what you're asking me to do interrupts what I'm already doing. What you're asking me to do is stopping me from the thing that I already had in mind that I think is better. But the problem is we don't know what's on the other side of what God is asking us to do. And so I think it is wise of us to reframe our mindset that he actually wants to draw us closer and pull us closer and give us a blessing that we maybe even have asked for. But we have to do it his way. We can't do it our way, you know?
Good. Yeah. Bob, so talk about that, the belief that tithing is impossible. And you guys have worked with so many people who've said it literally is impossible. How have you responded to that?
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, it's true in many cases. Like, that's the fact, is that you can look at the numbers and look at the math. I mean, and, you know, plenty of people listening, like, can understand exactly what I'm saying. It's like, I look at my bank account, we're giving 2%. There is no way we could jump up to 10%. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's what's so beautiful about the kingdom of God, is that God's math does not work the way that the world's math. Yeah. And we have been through enough. We've seen this over and over and over again, you know. And Susie, I know you talk about this a lot, but, like, we've just seen God come through so many times when the math didn't work, that the lie that tithing is impossible, like, is such a limiting thing, because in so many instances, like, that's just what you're going to see. You're going to see that it's not impossible, or that it is impossible. Like, in the natural, it is. But that's where the faith component comes in to this whole thing. And, you know, going back to Malachi, where we have the one time in the entire Bible where God says we can test him. It's in this area of giving and tithing, you know. So we've just seen him move so many times in that was something that, for me, I think Linda had been tithing since she was 2 or something. But for me, I didn't really grow up in church. And so that was the thing I had to wrestle with and come to terms with and really take some of those steps of faith to actually see God come through. So you're not going to see him come through until you actually take the step of faith. And so anyway, so that was a very freeing thing for us once we realized that that's the way that you start tithing. It's not because I have so much money now, it's like I'm just going to start giving 10%. It's like, you probably, God's probably going to call you to do it while it's tough, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, go ahead, Linda. Go ahead.
I'd love to just add to that. For me, it wasn't that tithing was impossible. It was that going beyond tithing was impossible. And, you know, for anyone who's listening that is like, "Oh, I'm a faithful tither," I just challenge you to think about, is it possible to go beyond that? Because if the Lord is calling you there, he will provide.
So good. And you'd said this just a moment ago and even again on your podcast that you're entering a different math equation when you're trusting God this way. And as you said, there are times people are already in a negative situation where their debt outweighs their income. And in our case, in our younger years, there was medical debt. It wasn't like from frivolous living or anything. It just, we had a lot of medical debt because of my battle. And that was so painful. So you had to start somewhere. But I think it goes back to the verse that you opened the show with, Bob, as far as, do you believe God? Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a point where you can take a step and maybe you just ask him, what does faith look like? What does obedience look like? Because it'll always be beyond your comfort zone. It may not compare to the neighbor, but you're not supposed to compare to the neighbor. You know, you might be giving more than the neighbor on your right and less than the one on your left. Doesn't matter. But what is faith compelling you to do? And with that in mind, Bob, what did you say to the person listening today who says, I want to do this so bad. I'm just terrified.
Well, it's okay to be scared. We're talking to our daughter who is trying to get her ears pierced, and we're having these conversations with her. We ended up buying a ear piercing gun because apparently, apparently you can do
that's
it at
cheaper.
Home. We're learning all this.
And it's so much cheaper. Yeah.
So we're trying to pierce her ears and she's like, okay, I want to do it. I'm like, no, I'm too scared. And so we're having these conversations with her, like walking her through, trying to teach her how to do things afraid. And her name actually means strong and brave. And so we're trying to speak that over her because that is who she is. That's who God created her to be. But that doesn't mean that you won't feel fear. Mm-hmm. Like the feelings of fear are going to be there. It's just what you're going to do in the midst of those feelings of fear. I believe it's Hebrews. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. And so I find myself when I'm in those moments, when I'm nervous, when I'm feeling like, oh, this is really scary because God has brought us to a lot of those points and especially in our giving and generosity. But when we understand, that this is a requirement of us to be pleasing to God, is that we are stepping out in faith in some aspect or some way. And then on top of that, when we look at Romans 8:28 or whatever, where it talks about what's the verse? I'm losing it now.
He works all things together
for
the good.
I'm looking at Linda. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, he works all these pieces together for good. You know, like when we understand that he's probably not asking us to do this just to make our lives miserable, you know? And of course, there are sacrifices and things like that he invites us to. But so often, the thing that he's inviting us to that is hard often has something that on the other side of it that is so beneficial for us and that he's trying to get in our hands, just like Linda was referencing earlier today. Mm-hmm. So that's how I have managed to work through some of those really scary moments. And hopefully that's helpful to someone listening.
Yeah. It is so helpful, and you tell plenty of stories in your book and on your podcast about how this works, where you start to trust him, and you find him trustworthy. It's like you step into the miraculous. You step into a provision that you're not going to find in God if you're waiting for the provision to come first. Obedience has to come first. So whatever that looks like, when you trust him, you will see him move somehow, some way. And I think it's such a powerful thing. We're going to pause. When we come back, we'll look at lie number three. We're talking about five kind of self-limiting, God-limiting beliefs, five lies that can be very detrimental to your financial health. And at the open of the show, we talked about that second most important number to track, AUM. And we'll link up that worksheet. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to calculate. And toward the end of the show, we'll talk about the most important number to track. And we're working our way towards financial health. Each month that we have Bob and Linda on, they'll give a little bit of homework if you choose to accept it, right? We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friends Bob and Linda Loddick, who join me every single month to talk about the healing process, a healthy financial life, a healthy relationship to your finances in a way that can really change the kingdom story in and all around you. So we're talking about five lies that we have to face head on and we've got to kind of dismantle in our lives because they'll be a great hindrance to our progress financially. And that first one is that you're always going to have a car payment. And if you just tuned in, once the live show's over, go back and listen to what Bob and Linda had to say about that. The second one is that tithing is impossible. It isn't. There's a way to do this. And you're the math, if you're looking at the math will just never work. But if you obey God and trust Him, you'll find Him faithful. In fact, Gwen writes, and she says, it's such a trust issue. God, do we trust you to provide? And of course He will, she says. And if we step back and think about it, do we really think that if we obey Him by tithing, He won't come through? And then she said, my screen just jumped. She says, He has a perfect track record of faithfulness. She says, I love when Bob and Linda are on. They have such a positive, encouraging manner about them. I 100% agree, Gwen. Okay, the third lie is that you can't grow your wealth without sinning and that godly people are poor. Bob, talk about that one.
Yeah, I just, again, this is just me being a product of the environment that I grew up in and the people I was around and we all are, you know, but we develop our beliefs from those people that we're around. We develop our beliefs from the friends that we have and from all these, inputs. And so for me, I just kind of, just had this belief that anybody who has any money is, evil, like they did something bad to get it or something like that. And I've since, thankfully, God has like put me in a relationship with a good number of like really, amazingly strong believers who happen to be people of means and might have really large incomes, but they're kingdom focused. And so it's not about them hoarding wealth or just trying to build up barns on earth to like, you know, keep it for themselves so they, you know, can just eat, beat, drink and be merry. But it's more of a, how can I use this abundance that God has trusted me with to be like a 10 talent steward from Matthew 25, where like he's entrusted this to me, like how can I multiply this and use it for the advancement of the kingdom? And so anyway, so for me, that was really empowering seeing that. And I think our first experience personally with this was a couple from our church when we were newlyweds bought a beach house. And, you know, they were very well off, but they bought a beach house specifically for our church staff to use. And so Linda was on staff at the time. And so we were broke as broke can be at that point. But we got to go down to this beach house and live like kings because of their generosity. And it deeply impacted us in the way that we kind of saw all these things.
Yeah, you can have a real self-righteous view on finances if your finances are a mess. And I want to say that carefully, but it's just true. And I remember one of my sons, when he was in college, he said he had a few friends who were trust fund kids. And he said it looked like they took a vow of poverty because they always looked disheveled. They never worked and they hardly showered. But he said, as he walked around with them, he said there wasn't a deep conviction about the life world around them. It was almost like this kind of pride and their humility that they just looked disheveled, even though they were living off of the funds from mom and dad. And he said, at first he was drawn to them because he thought, these are simple people. And then he realized there's no work ethic. There's no conviction. There's not a thought of other people. It's just sort of this facade of, it's just more godly to look like I'm poor. But what I about jumped out of my chair when I was listening to the podcast. And you said, Bob, when you understand this concept and you have a right relationship with money, you can use your money to rob hell. Yeah. Somebody got to give me an amen. I mean, truly, it's like, again, you can be poor and still have a wrong relationship to money. And I'd love for both of you to speak to that.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the problem with both ends of the spectrum is that it doesn't deal with what's going on in your heart. And that is always what God is after. There is nothing on earth that is going to separate us from His love. There's nothing that makes us holy or unholy. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us holy. And so if we are not in right relationship with God, then it doesn't matter how much money we have. That's the big problem, right? It's not the money that makes us holy or unholy. And I think most people miss that, and it honestly makes me sad because I feel like they're just dancing around a completely separate issue. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. Like, it's not going to fix the problem ever. And so, I mean, that's why we tend to, when we talk about money, we never talk about just here are all the practical steps to get you to have a bunch of money or to, you know, make you look holy. It's like, what's going on in your heart while you're walking through the ups and the downs? Like, it is on both ends of the spectrum where more of your heart gets revealed to you. We know this out of experience because we've gone up and we've gone down and everything in between, and we've seen what's come out of us in those seasons. And every time we do, it's like a refining fire. God just brings more out and brings more clarity and brings more purity in our lives so that we are tethered to him instead of money.
Amen. You also talked about, Linda, on one of the past podcasts about the verse that we often hear, you cannot serve God and money. You'll love one and hate the other. And you said the original translation is actually, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that translates money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. So again, you can maybe look like you're taking a vow of poverty and feel real proud of your humility, but truly in your heart, you're proud of your humility. So God always sees all of that, right? I mean, he wants our hearts. And when our hearts are submitted to him, then we can steward much or the little that we have in our hands. Bob, anything else you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, just that, I mean, just seconding what Linda said, it's like our hearts and our wallets are so interconnected, which is why, A, I believe the Bible talks about money as much as it does, which is a ton. Or you want to start digging around, you might find thousands of verses. I've seen some people say it's over 2,000 verses. And so there's this interconnection there between our wallets and our hearts. And I think that one of the best ways we can prove, well, I'll say it like this. We notice when Jesus encountered somebody who was really greedy, you know, so if you take Zacchaeus or you take the rich young ruler, and I think there might have been a couple other examples, like he prescribed generosity to them. And so what we have there is we have this opportunity to shape and to change how we're dealing with things, specifically in our hearts, by being more generous. And that's a simple action step that we can take to start improving on that thing we might be struggling with.
And before we move on to the next point, I mean, this idea that you can't grow your wealth without sinning is, I mean, I guess it leads us to the next point. The other lie that you believed was increasing my income more than 5% at a time was impossible. And that came through a hardship and a setback. And in the setback, learning to trust God, learning to be generous with very little, and then you saw God kind of blow that idea and that mindset to smithereens.
Yeah. So for me, I had, you know, kind of grown up in corporate America and working in cubicles and spent many, many years doing that. And, you know, and so you begin to develop a pattern of what you believe is possible. And so for all of my career, all I saw was a 2-3% raise each year. Some years, not even that, you know, and then maybe I get a promotion, it might be 5, maybe 10%. But like, if I'm going to stretch my faith, it's like, God, can you give me a 5% increase? Like, I could really use that right now. Like, that was me with a bold, audacious prayer. And the reality is, like, we need to be stretching our limits. God is so much bigger than the box that so many of us are putting him in. And I'm speaking from experience and speaking for myself here, but there's so many times where I limit God by putting him into this tiny little box of what I believe is possible and what I'm even think is possible to ask. And so by his grace, he obliterated that box for me. And the way he did that was by starting to just lay me off. He's like, all right, I'm going to get you out of there and get you into a whole new world here. But so I ended up getting laid off. And out of that, he invites me, or really challenges me, to start this business that we had kind of already started, but to focus on it full time, which did not make any sense mathematically. Again, back to God's math being different. And anyway, so we're stretching, you know, our faith to like, God, are you sure this feels crazy to start this business after I just got laid off? We got to pay rent and all this stuff. But we did it. We followed him into this thing. And 9 months later, like, we replaced my day job with this new business, which was amazing enough and really miraculous enough. But then 6 months after that, the income from our business was double what it was. And so like to watch my income double over the course of a year, you know, and then beyond that, like we even saw more crazy, like it's just he just tore down all of the walls that I had believed of what were possible. And so I think it's really easy to be in a situation where I've worked in this job for 20 years, I've worked in this business, I know how it goes. It doesn't matter. God is bigger than those walls that we are putting up. And so that would be my encouragement to anyone listening. Do not draw the lines of what is and isn't possible with God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, one more before we take our break. The last one, paying off your house is impossible. And you said it starts with believing God can do it. And Linda, you said God has more in store for us than we can imagine. And so say a word, if you would, Linda, about that one.
Sure. I mean, I didn't know that this was possible growing up. I thought that this was either you live in your house for a very, very long time, or you have billions of dollars, and so therefore you can pay off your house. But you know, we saw this happen in our lives in honestly a very short amount of time, and it just blew my mind. And you know, when we're talking about God's math is not our math, the thing is that God created math. But he created it for us because we need it. He doesn't need it. So he exists outside of it. So the reason I think we put him in these boxes is because it's all we're able to understand. However, God is so superior that there is nothing in the world that is not created by him. And so when we can understand that, we start to see beyond what the limits are that we have grown up believing and grown up understanding, and that maybe everyone else has told us is true. Because we can look to God, and God is limitless, and that He is our provider, and that He has things for us that are different than everybody else. And so when we can look at it that way, instead of the way society looks at it, it's easy to see that some of the lies that we've believed, and this being one of them for us, are just untrue. And we can go to God and find out what He has for us instead.
So what if you pulled that limit off that in your mindset, just pulled it out and said, Lord, help us get focused. Help us. Maybe you start with your car if you have a car payment, and then you just pound away at it. And you ask God, show me the frivolous ways I spend that I'm not even aware of. And in fact, when we come back, I think I might have you just say a quick word about an app, a free app that you mentioned that you can track your spending, because you might say, I spend $200 a month on eating out, when in fact you spend $800 a month. That's a story that Bob and Linda told about someone on the show on one of their podcast episodes. But a way to track, so you just see, oh my goodness, I'm spending so much more on this than I thought. And you start to carve and shave, and you get focused, and you pound that thing out. Once you pay that off, you put that money towards your house, what would happen if you start to see that snowball effect? When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about an app that can help you track your finances, but also I want to leave time for the most important number to track. Talking to Bob and Linda Lodick. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. And I just have to pause, take a deep breath, and say thank you. With all my heart, thank you. You often hear me say, we can't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. It's more important than ever that we be bold for Jesus, because we believe and know He's the hope of the earth, and you helped us do just that. So thank you for partnering with us so that we can partner with God to change the world. And if you've not given yet, you still have a chance to join us on this mission field. You can give now, safe and secure online, at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We have our friends Bob and Linda Lodick on the show. Their book is titled Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieving True Financial Freedom, Design and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And they've got a great blog, Seed Time Money podcast. So good. And we are drawing from some of the content from one of the recent episodes about five of the lies that they said if they would have continued believing would have been absolutely detrimental to their financial picture. In fact, they never would have achieved one of their dream goals was to give away $1 million by the time they reached age 40. And that's just the first million. They're dreaming of giving away many more than that. And that was from a place, though these dreams came when they were financially broken in their 20s. So the five lies we've talked about are: one is you're always going to have a car payment; two, that tithing is impossible; three, is that you can't grow your wealth without sinning, you know, that only godly people are only poor, basically. Increasing your income more than 5% at a time is impossible. And paying off your house is impossible. So if you are kind of there, it just feels impossible, just be humble and teachable enough to say, God, show me if that's a lie I believe, and show me the path forward. Bob, I'm just going to have you say a quick word because I want to get time to that most important number. If you can just do it just in a second, talk about an app that helps track spending so people can see maybe where to cut so they can start focusing in on this debt payoff.
Sure. Yeah. So I've looked at a lot of different apps, and this isn't sponsored. It just happens to be one I use and really like. It's called Rocket Money. And what it will do, allow you to plug in your credit cards or debit cards and then go back and see where you've actually spent your money for the last few months. And you can do all this in just a couple minutes.
Wow. Thank you for that. Rocket Money. Again, not a sponsor. It's just something he's used, and it really does help you because I think we'd all be surprised at some of the ways we spend money that we're not aware of. Okay, real quick now, the most important number to track. Second most important number is assets under management. Most important number, what is it?
Well, like we were talking about at the beginning, assets under management, it's a spinoff of the net worth thing. And somewhere along the lines, when God was kind of working on my heart with all this money stuff, I began asking this question of what does it look like to be an eternal financial success as a Christian? And ultimately, I determined that probably the best way to measure financial success as a Christian is to not measure how much we've accumulated, which is what net worth is, measuring how much, you know, and I have my bank account, how many houses I own, whatever, all that stuff. But probably would be more of how much have I given? And so we decided that was how we were going to measure our financial success, is how much we've given. And then once we decided that, we're like, all right, we need a way to track that. So instead of net worth, we create our net given. And that is a number where we are basically have a running total of all the money that we have given. And we've been doing this, again, probably 15 something years at this point. And what I found, what we both found, is that this is so encouraging because instead of, you know, because I used to wrestle with this idea of I want to grow my assets under management, you know, because I feel like we're stewards of what God's entrusted to us. And I feel like that makes sense to continue to grow grow in and on what he's entrusted to us. But at the same time, like I want to give. And I feel like that's, you know, that kind of works against it because we give something away and it's no longer in our assets under management. And so the Lord pointed me to this idea of tracking this. And so this is why net given is our number one most important number that we track, because it keeps us focused on the big goal, you know, which is, you know, for us, we want to just be able to give away a whole lot of money over our lifetime. And this keeps us moving in that direction. Whereas before, we were just focused on how much can we accumulate? How big a retirement fund can we get? How many, whatever, you know? So it just changed the race that we were running. It's been great for us.
So Linda, what's included? Like, how do you track? What do you track in what you're giving away?
Yeah, so we track whatever we donate to ministries or organizations, which I think that's what most people think of first, of tithing and, you know, giving to churches and different ministries really that do things that we're excited about. But we also made it so that we could afford to give birthday gifts and take someone out for coffee or buy someone dinner. Like, we wanted to make it so that it wasn't just exclusively if we get a tax benefit from it, because that's not biblical generosity. That's just what the government says, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we get so much joy out of doing other things too. And so we created a specific category in our budget that is just for giving away. And what's so fun about that is that when there's money sitting there, it's kind of like you're looking for an opportunity and you're ready to pounce on it when it becomes available. Like when the Lord says, hey, could you go do this for that person? It's so easy to say yes, because there's money sitting there waiting to be spent. And it has just really brought so much enjoyment and taken so much stress off. And it's one of our favorite things to do, honestly.
Wow. And Bob, where do you start with that? As far as, let's say someone wanted to start now, in this fourth month of the year, to start tracking that kind of giving, not only the tithe and offerings, but the times they wrote a $100 check to somebody mm-hmm. who's just walking through yeah. a hard time. How do they go get that information?
Yeah, we've had a lot of students who work backwards and will look at their tax returns. And, you know, like Linda mentioned, it's really important that you understand that the IRS isn't the final say of whether something is a generous act or, you know. Mm. And so it doesn't really matter whether it falls under something as tax deductible. But for the purposes of like backtracking, you can look at what you've given in the previous years, look at your statements and things like that. And so that's what I would suggest. Get a spreadsheet. And again, we have one. Maybe you can share in the show notes, Susie, if you want, where people can download it for free. And that way you can just start there and you can start from here going forward or start working backwards.
Wow. And so every time you guys have, you must have developed a habit so that when you're giving kind of that's not automated, giving in just generous ways, you just go into that form and enter it in just to keep easy track. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, exactly. So anything that is like our church or other ministries, we'll get a receipt. We'll add those in that way. But anytime, and again, you can put whatever threshold you want. At this point, our threshold is normally a couple $100s. And anything that falls in that category, we'll go ahead and list it in there. And it's just a beautiful running list of all the opportunities that we've gotten to partner with God in some area mm-hmm. of generosity. And I love looking back and just looking at, oh yeah, remember when we did that, when we were able to give that, when we were able to do that, and like just seeing all the things that God was able to do through our generosity. It's really fun to look back on.
It reminds me of the passage as we get ready to wrap here in 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, you know, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and increase your store of seed, enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, making you rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And the result is God's people mm-hmm. giving thanks. I mean, I think of the wake of people thanking God because you were generous to them, Bob and Linda. Thank you for the way you're stewarding this and all that you're teaching us. Thanks for the time today.
Of course. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Susie.
Appreciate you guys. Bob and Linda Loddick are my guests, and you as well. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get you back here next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.